We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a podcast that I don't think any of us want to do, which is why Tyler and Steven probably aren't here tonight. So I already see a couple comments trickling in about Tyler's tweet last night, as well as whether Steven will praise Joe Lombardi on the next episode of Guilty as Charged Dragon Ball Z. Sadly, neither of them are here tonight. They will be back on Wednesday when we do our Cardinals podcast. But Arjun and I are here tonight to try to break down everything that happened last night and sort of where the Chargers go from here and an intervention type podcast away. So Arjun, how are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. Kind of finally over what happened last night and had some time to kind of process everything and think things through. So I'm sure this is going to be one worth talking about, but excited to hop into it.
Yeah. Excited to hop into it for sure. So as many know, the Chargers lost 27-24 last night, or sorry, 30-27 to the Chiefs in pretty brutal loss. So Arjun, I guess I'll start, just we can make this an open discussion. Where do you think is worth starting off first?
Personally, I do want to talk about the fourth down decisions at some point. I know that's probably not the biggest takeaway for most people about the game, but at least for me, that was just another disappointing kind of like outcome from Staley in that game. And I mean, I'll put it bluntly, like the fourth and one right after halftime where he punted, that was a go. Like that's one where you put the nail in the coffin, you go up 14 on the Chiefs, but instead you give the ball down, you give the ball back to Mahomes. And this whole idea that you have trust in the defense and they were playing at a high level, two things which are completely false. You can't stop Mahomes and your defense is not playing at a high level. They haven't been playing at a high level all season. And they just let the Chiefs get back in that game. And it was just disappointing to see, because the first half I thought they coached the game fine and the offensive scheme was fine. And then the second half they kind of turtled up like they have all season, and you just can't do those things against the Chiefs, and you literally have to play a near perfect game versus the Chiefs, right? And we didn't see that on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the fourth down stuff, I've been wondering all year, or really at the beginning of this year too, just how much the fallout from the Raiders game last year, in which Brandon Staley went for fourth down on his own side of the field, which is, you know, kind of the situation he was in last night with that fourth and inches against the Chiefs when they were up four. It kind of reminded me of that Raiders situation that we did have last year when Brandon Staley did decide to go for it in his own 23. Brandon Staley decided to punt in that situation. Chiefs drive down 86 yards, go up 23-20. After that Raiders game, we did hear Brandon Staley kind of say, hey, like, this is what the Chargers are. This is what I am. And I'm ready for all the smoke, everything that comes with it. And, you know, obviously we've seen the Chargers just not go for it this year. I know, Arjun, you probably have that Tage stat memorized, but you know, basically 2021, they add, 128% to their win shares, and they lose 46% based on their fourth down decisions to their win shares this year. Like, that to me is a pretty overbearing stat and kind of shows why the Chargers are where they are at this point. You know, obviously the Chargers had possessions after that. It wasn't why they lost the game, but certainly the mentality to not bury the Chiefs at that point, you know, not score out of the half, and then to then punt on that possession. It just felt like the Chargers were kind of willingly letting the Chiefs back into it. When Staley last year did kind of want to try to bury the Raiders when he could, bury the Chiefs when he could, and he's just exercised certainly a different mentality this year.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, I just didn't understand the philosophy. And honestly, like, I mean, people are talking about the fourth and one after the half. I thought the fourth and two from the 3 yard line right before half, like, that also could have been a go for it situation. Like, going from, I think, so they went from 4-7, right, in that, when they kicked the field goal there.
You're talking about the one right before halftime?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they kicked the field goal inside the 10.
Yeah, let me just double check, but I believe, yeah, so they went from 17-13 to 20-13. So they go from a one score game to a one score game. Doesn't really, like, impact the game that much. Instead, if you go get seven there, right, you're up. Now you're up 11. Now you're up two scores. Now, like, the Chiefs have to scramble. And the problem that happened is because the Chiefs were only playing down one score, they were able to run the ball. Like, they were pounding the ball because they didn't have to play with urgency. They knew they were only down one score and they just needed one touchdown to tie the game or take the lead. So Pacheco was grinding out these 6 or 7 yard carry runs. And that all comes because of these compounding decisions that you don't go for the touchdown at the end of the half and you kick and then you punt it away to Mahomes. Like, punting it, I want to ask you, like, punting it in that fourth and one after half versus Anthony Lynn punting it in overtime. Like, it's pretty much the same decision, right?
Yeah, no, it kind of is the same decision. Honestly, even the games that the Chargers have won this year where they've, like, made a lot of conservative calls. The Chargers had, you know, 3 fourth and goals inside the 10-yard line of Cleveland, for example. And in all those situations, they decided to take 3 field goals inside the 10-yard line with Taylor Bertolet. Yeah. They end up winning that game, right, in the way that they did. But, you know, all of those decisions, the Atlanta game, there were some pretty conservative calls. So I guess you could say playing it safe has worked for the Chargers this year. But again, like, this situation, playing the Chiefs is not playing the Jacoby Brissett Browns, right? It is not any of the games that the Chargers had previously played this year other than the one that they played against the Chiefs. And, you know, if you go back to that Week 2 game, it was Dustin Hopkins at the time. They kick a field goal on fourth down inside the 10-yard line in that game in the first half. Mm-hmm. That kind of ends up coming back to bite them. And, you know, had a few conservative decisions even in that one. So, yeah, I think Anthony Lynn punting in overtime, can't believe I'm remembering that. But, yeah, it reminded me of just how stark of a difference 2021 was in that regard, moving on from Lynn, and just how we're kind of back in the same spot now. I did want to ask, just from, you know, a decision standpoint, And people have sort of debated on Twitter, like, what are the reasons that the Chargers have regressed in terms of the decision making? What do you think are the main, like, 2 or 3 reasons, if you had to say, that the Chargers have kind of changed course on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have 4. Number one is their run game is significantly worse this year. They just can't run the ball. It seems like every third and one, second and one, they have to literally grind to get that yard. It's like, it's never easy. Like they'll, like I believe there was a second and two where they got 1 yard and they have to sneak it with Herbert, and the Herbert sneak needed like two, like Herbert needed that second effort, right? And like that's just like pathetic. Like if you can't win in Herbert, or Staley said he wanted to be a line of scrimmage team, and that is the complete opposite of what they are this year, right? And that is a huge problem. So number one is the run game. Second, I think Staley has this belief that his defense is this really good defense. They have $100 million in cap hits invested into the defense this year. So naturally, because of all the resources and all the familiarity with this game, they're going to be this great defense, right? That's completely false. This is not a good defense. This is a bottom eight defense per EPA per play. One of the worst run defenses in the NFL, almost as worse as last year, right? And then three is a positive thing, but it's kind of negative. Their special teams is really good. Like I was doing some special teams expected points added or EPA calculations. They actually ranked third this year when considering kickoff attempts, punt returns, punt attempts, kickoff or kicks. Like they are a really good special teams unit. And I think Staley's belief in that is kind of move them towards not going for it on fourth down, because you can trust your punter to quote Staley, flip the field, which is again just a nightmare of a quote in that scenario. But that's the third reason. And then the fourth one, which I don't really like put like a ton of stock into, outside influences like Twitter, the media just in general, potentially the front office. Like I'm not speculating anything there just because we can't really say anything, but the first three points I brought up are all kind of objective and kind of have like stats to back it up.
Yeah, no, I think definitely you want the special teams to get better, but obviously if that kind of comes to a detriment where, you know, Staley doesn't feel like he has to outplay special teams or outplay his defense, that is a problem. The defense, yeah, so I at some point, like, you know, Staley trusts his defense and all, but like, man, even if you just look at like a basic stat, like total defense, they were 23rd in yards per game last year. Now they're 25th. Like, even if you just look at it from that kind of basic sense, like, you know, you could just kind of tell that this defense right now isn't where it needs to be. And obviously adding to that, I mean, the big difference is that you don't have Joey Bosa, right? Like, yeah. Which is just such a huge difference on the edge from a pass rush standpoint, even though they kind of did okay from a pass rush standpoint last night. And obviously the ground game, it's just so different too in terms of the kind of presence that he is there. Do we have final pressure numbers from last night? I don't know if you could pull those up.
Yeah, so Kyle Van Noy had 5, which I believe is his season high. Khalil Mack had 3, I believe. He had 3. Morgan Fox had 3. Joseph Day with 2, and then Rumpf, Derwin, Fajoko, and Callahan with 1.
Yeah, I did think in general it was a better pressure game than I thought the Chargers would have, especially considering the last few weeks, because they had like 30 pressures the last 3 weeks entering this game. So I did think that was kind of a bright spot overall in terms of how they were able to manufacture pressure. But yeah, overall, I mean, their defense, just in terms of what they're sort of relying on, obviously not having, you know, healthy JC Jackson, or what JC Jackson was supposed to be, not having Joey Bosa, Derwin James playing very well, but Derwin James not at peak Derwin levels, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
All of those things, I think, combined just lead to this thing where it's like, yeah, you can trust your defense. And the Chargers have generally been able to get stops on Mahomes in the past. By no means has it been like a dominant defensive effort, but it's all, you know, it all does kind of add up. Like you said, I mean, I think the second biggest story after fourth down last night is probably third down. And in terms of how bad the third down defense is, because that is going to be a story that, regardless of what Brandon Staley does on fourth down and his decision making there, it is going to just continue to reverberate. The third down defense is probably as bad as it's ever been. They are, I think Popper posted the stat that now they're on third and 11 and plus. Like, they're by far the worst team in the league in terms of getting off the field. What is wrong with the third down defense, and is there any chance we can make it better before the season ends?
I mean, it could definitely be better, but I just think like there's just like no like the communication is just lacking between the guys in the secondary. Like the third and 11, third and eight, it's like the Chargers are getting beat by these like curl routes, these dagger concepts, which I feel like they should have been able to see very often on film and stuff, but they haven't been able to do that. I think the biggest issue for me is like they just like don't generate pressure on third down. Like I don't know, like this is a situation where your pass rusher should be teeing off, should be having the quickest get off the ball of any down in out of the four downs, and they just don't. Like I feel like Mahomes are just sitting in the pocket on third down with ample time to find an open receiver. So yesterday on third down, the Chiefs passing game, when they passed the ball, averaged 1.19 EPA per play, which if you don't know is like absolutely insane. They basically added 11 points or 12 points damn near on third down alone in terms of expected points, but like you can like push that forward to like actual points, and that just can't happen. Like if you expect to beat the Chiefs, you need to get off the field on third down. If you get them in third and long, you better get off the field. How did like It just blew my mind that in one drive, first and 21 turned into a first down, and then like third and eight turned into a first down. They just like couldn't get off the field. And again, it's all like these compounding mistakes eventually add up, and someone like Mahomes and Andy Reid are gonna make you pay for that. So I'm curious, like, is that kind of like the takeaway you had as well?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, the big difference in terms of previous third down games, because I mean, you could say the third down defense was been relatively bad the last like 2 years in general, but you know, this is probably the first game that I can remember where the Chiefs have put up 163 rushing yards on the Chargers. You know, really, aside from that, a couple games, maybe it's been like 30, 50 rushing yards. Like in general, they've just always been a very pass happy team, but Isaiah Pacheco just kind of wearing defense down, you know, on those first two downs, particularly in the first half, or you know, Jerick McKinnon run here or there. All of the Chiefs running backs had over 4.0 yards per carry last night. And so that's just the kind of thing where if you're getting gashed on first and second down, and now you're on third down, or it's third and four, third and five, or it's even third and two, like it's just going to make it a lot harder, I think, to play defense. And then you still get to those third and 11 plays too, where you know, maybe they're just beat by Travis Kelce, or they're beat by something deep. That seems pretty simple, but there were just moments last night too where it looked like the Chargers were just trying to get off the field as hard as they could. Even on that final Chiefs touchdown drive, you have just Sebastian Joseph Day, for example, who was gassed, like trying to get off the field. And that is kind of just the Chargers game scheme thing, time of possession thing as well. But it just felt like the Kansas City rushing attack on this one sort of withered them down a lot in the first half. And then from that point on, the Chiefs were sort of able to open up the playbook a lot in the second half, because the Chargers then had to account for the run quite a lot. And at that point, it just felt like, you know, it's like, okay, here's Travis Kelce. He's about to explode. And, you know, here's a 29-yard pass to Justin Watson, right? And Sky Moore's best game probably of his career to this point, right? So it just felt like that running game to me, and how decimated the Chargers are in the tackle room, I think that was really felt, just kind of opened up a lot of things for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I agree. And that's like that point exactly is why I wanted to put the nail in the coffin. That's why you have to go for the touchdown before half, and then why you kind of need to at least get three or seven right after half, because keeping the Chiefs in a one score game with them only down by seven or down by four or three, it allows them to do whatever they want on offense. Like they can be as balanced as they want, taking time off the clock. So that's why they were able to run, run, run. But instead, if you go up 14, if you go up 21, or go up like 18, whatever the score differential would have been, like you're forcing the Chiefs into a pure dropback game. And I mean, I know that Mahomes carved up the Chargers, but if the Chargers didn't have to like account for the run being up 17 or 21, like I mean, I would feel a little bit confident, like, or I would feel more confident in that situation with Mahomes missing three receivers and the Chiefs basically trotting out Jody Fortson as their outside guy than the Chargers having to account for the run and the pass, right? And that's just like, again, it comes down to these compounding decisions by Staley to not go for it on fourth down, and honestly just their inability to get off the field. And I mean, yeah, it comes down to a lot of things. I have one suggestion that I was curious to get your opinion on. Can we bench Kenneth Murray for Troy Reader? Like, I think I've had enough of the Kenneth Murray experiment, and like, I get he's a first round pick, he's had his moments, but I mean, Reader looked good out there. If you know, do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think once they sort of put Troy Reader in the game, like, I mean, it made things a lot just better, simpler. Reader made the plays he was supposed to. Obviously, hope for the best for Kenneth Murray because he had the next dinger last night. So hope for the best from that standpoint. But Kenneth Murray, I just think, has been a very up and down performer this year, even from quarter to quarter or half to half. You sort of have the first half against San Francisco where he looked pretty bad, and then you have maybe the best half of his career against in the second half against San Francisco too. But yeah, I just think there's been too many bad decisions in terms of tackling from him and just, you know, what he's supposed to be doing on the field as well. Him and Kyle Van Noy, like on that side, I think in terms of the run game, have not worked great together when they've been there. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to see more Reader, and I think Brandon Staley is kind of getting to that point too. I'll be curious to see what the Chargers do this week leading up to the game. If you know how much Kenneth Murray can practice, how much Troy Reader can practice, and if Kenneth Murray can play, how much they want to sort of divvy up the snaps from there. But I think that that's, you know, definitely a decent suggestion if you're, you know, just trying to talk about which player is less of a liability right now, because right now that is what you kind of get from Kenneth Murray sometimes, and sometimes Kenneth Murray can play well, but overall just has not been pretty there at all. All right, I guess what did you sort of make of this offense last night? Because I think, you know, overall first half they were generally pretty successful. Obviously, we could talk about not going for the touchdown before the half and taking the field goal there, but they scored 20 points in the first half, and then a whole whopping seven in the second half on a Justin Herbert drive that was really great. We've got that generational Justin Herbert drive. You know, here it comes. And then other than that, you know, then Justin Herbert gets picked on the final drive where the Chargers are trying to come back and tie the game. What did you sort of think of the offensive approach and Joe Lombardi last night?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, well, so I thought the offense in general was great. I thought Justin Herbert had one of his best games of the year. If you look at like a per play basis, the Chargers offense was better than the Chiefs offense. The Chargers offense had a 54% success rate, while the Chiefs success rate was only 52%. Now, the Chiefs were more efficient because you know, they converted a higher majority of these high leverage situation plays, like in the red zone and on third down. But I mean, the Chargers like moved the ball fine, and like in the first half, I thought it was Lombardi's like best like half of football if you compound it towards a full game. He was mixing in play action early on first down. The first drive was three passes, three successful plays, and a touchdown. Like, it was one of the best scripted drives I've seen from this offense. And then the second half comes and they kind of stop using play action, and they go back to this wide receiver screen game to DeAndre Carter. Like, Herbert hit Palmer on a slant, and then they're running hurry up. And I don't know, it looked out of sync in the second half. And then, you know, obviously you just can't have the mistake like Keenan Allen did, fumbling when you're driving like that. Because I think, like, even though they got the ball back, they could have, like, it would have been Chargers score on that drive, go up. Mahomes probably going to score. And then Herbert has the ball with probably more than 30 seconds left, right? So I think, like, it was just one of those things where the Chargers got a little bit stagnant after the second half, and they fell into this rut of not leaning on what won them the game in the first half, which was play action, getting Herbert on the move, and honestly just playing to the strengths of the receiver. But again, like, I don't know what to make of Lombardi, because he was coming into this game thinking Mike Williams was going to be 100%, right? And he leaves in the first drive. So you're already tossing what, like, a quarter of your playbook out the window. So just, you know, I think it just all comes down to adjustments, and I think the Chargers just didn't, you know, adjust enough, and they didn't play to the strengths of what worked well in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to see what maybe the playbook would have been, for example, like if Keenan Allen went out of the game versus if Mike Williams did, because it felt like they did probably have a lot around Mike Williams in this game, and they didn't know exactly what Keenan Allen was going to be willing, you know, capable of giving them. you know, considering the nature of, you know, the hamstring injury and, you know, even coming into this game, the discussion was, you know, he was going to be on a pitch count, all of that stuff. So, you know, I do think that the Mike Williams absence in this game was felt. It wasn't as bad because you end up having the best game of Josh Palmer's career, which, you know, certainly did help in that respect. But, you know, if you did have Mike Williams, Josh Palmer, and Keenan Allen this game all together, I might go as far as to say that the Chargers might have come close to, you know, winning that one. And like you said, just having all of the offensive weapons out there in general, that obviously could kind of like maybe have changed who had the ball last, like you kind of said, in terms of the time management, game management. But yeah, overall, it just felt like it did go kind of out of sync. And yeah, the hurry up situations, like you were saying, were just kind of weird in terms of like when they decided to hurry up and when they decided not to. Because sometimes like it worked, but overall, I don't know, like it just could have been quite a bit better. Yeah, but obviously if you score 7 points in the second half for the Chiefs, like 27 is going to be a number that's not bad, but overall it could have been a lot better.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I was looking at this early today and honestly kind of just sums up why the Chargers are what they are. So the top 10 players in terms of APY for the Chargers this year, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Derwin James, J.C. Jackson, Corey Linsley, Michael Davis, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Austin Johnson. So of those 10, Bosa, Keenan, Mike, JC, I guess you could say Linsley, and Austin Johnson are all hurt. So that's 1, 2, 3. That's 6 players of the 10 that are hurt. Of the 4 that haven't been hurt or like haven't really missed that much time, I would say all of them are playing below the level the Chargers signed them to play at, except like Corey Linsley, who I think is having a great year. Like, I think, like, can we talk about the Derwin regression a little bit in coverage? Like, I feel like he hasn't been himself in coverage. I think he's been great as a blitzer. I think he's been fine as a run defender. I think he hasn't been the same guy in coverage that he used to be. And I mean, I was as high on him coming into this game, guarding Travis Kelce as anyone. You just can't get, I mean, Kelce's going to win. Like, I'm not denying that, but you just can't get beat that bad on what was like a simple mesh play, something he probably saw in film going into this game and something that I would expect Derwin to lock up, especially given the contract he got this summer. So I know there's a lot of, you know, questions about whether this coaching staff is getting the most out of their players. Like, I just like the players they paid are either hurt or they're not playing at the level they paid them to be, which again, I don't know if that's on the players. I don't know if that's on the coaches. Like, it's just a mix of everything. Optimus Ryan, like, I'm ignoring Naz because, like, I mean, Nasir's involved in what, like 10% of the plays. Derwin is playing in the box. He's playing in the slot. He's playing on the edge. Like, Naz is only helping when everyone else messes up. Like, Derwin is the catalyst for all of this, right? So, I mean, I don't really know what you're complaining about Naz about. Like, yeah, he's not that good, but I think the Derwin regression is more important to talk about than Nasir Adderley not playing that well.
Yeah, no, I think the Derwin regression in coverage is certainly there. He's just looked definitely a step slow in coverage. I know Reality Check kind of mentioned this, but Waller had him beat, you know, a couple times in week one where, you know, the Chargers, the Raiders just didn't convert those situations. But overall, like, I just kind of, I'm not sure what to think at this point because previously, you know, the Chargers basically were like, all right, well, we're just going to stick Derwin on Kelce. And if we do that, like they did in week 3 last year, we have a pretty good chance of winning the game. And if Derwin goes out with a hamstring injury, like he did last year as well, in that week 15 game, then, you know, we're probably screwed. So definitely something has changed, I think, in terms of not how much they trust Derwin, because ultimately, considering how many injuries they already have on defense, like they just have to stick Derwin there and kind of live with whatever Kelce's going to do. But yeah, the success of that certainly has changed with Derwin kind of in the current state that he is. And it just felt like, you know, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with defense, just by the end of these games kind of feeling like a little bit overloaded and tired, sort of like Everett is saying in the chat here. And that definitely, you know, is sort of some of those completions that Travis Kelce got in the second half, you know, prior to this game, I believe Derwin James had never given up a touchdown to Travis Kelce. I believe this is the first time, unfortunately. So, yeah, definitely not the kind of game that you would expect from Derwin. And, you know, I think a lot of that also has to do with Derwin is being asked to do a lot, right? I mean, he's being asked to come up and be a blitzer. He's being asked to play probably at all three levels, maybe more than he ever has up before at this time in his career. And he was signed to do that, right? And got the money to do that. But I definitely think there's still been that adaptation in terms of what we're supposed to do. And when you have all that responsibility, plus you have to guard Travis Kelce, right? It can certainly be intimidating, and that can definitely make Derwin James look a little bit worse.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, but the problem is you're paying him $19 million a year. Like this, like that's kind of the expectation that he's able to do all of this. If he's only able to play safety, he's not worth $19 million a year. His value and utility comes in the fact that he can play edge, he can play linebacker, he can play slot corner. Like, I understand what fans are saying that he might be being asked to do too much. That's what we paid him to do. Like that is kind of like the expectation. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get on him too much because I think he's still having a pretty good year, even with the lapses in coverage at times. But it's pretty disappointing to see Kelce have the game winner on him and start high stepping into the end zone. That was just a slap in the face on that part.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we just have to stop Travis Kelce from entering SoFi Stadium like next year. Like, it just has to be a thing. I saw a tweet that, you know, the Chargers have to let Travis Kelce into the Ring of Honor. And, like, it's just, it just sucks how much they kind of blew the coverages on him in general. But yeah, it definitely just felt like the whole game that, I mean, in the first half, it felt like they had a pretty decent answer for Travis Kelce most of the time. Granted, yeah, there was that one throw like on third down, I think, earlier in the game where Mahomes hit Travis Kelce in the head, and that was the Chargers getting off the field on a third down. So, you know, the defense wasn't necessarily always there. But yeah, definitely could have been a better overall game from Derwin, from the defense in general. I guess, what do we sort of make, I guess, on that final drive where the Chiefs do get the touchdown? Of the defense the Chargers were sort of playing there when they were up 27-23. It just felt like everyone sort of knew what Mahomes was inevitably going to do, and still the Chargers couldn't stop it. You know, at some time, you just have to chalk that up to Mahomes being Mahomes. But did you think there was a lot different that the Chargers could have done on that drive than they did there?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I mean, So my like whole thesis coming into this game was, or kind of throughout the year, was you can win playing man on the Chiefs. And for the most part, literally for the whole game, Mahomes had almost zero rushing yards before the final drive. And then in that final drive, he rips off a run for 6 yards on first and 10, and then 16 yards on first and 10 for 16 yards on the play right before the Kelce touchdown. So, like, the Chargers went into this man look, a lot of two-man stuff. Like, they didn't even have a guy in the box playing that robber or spy look. And, you know, they just, I don't know, like, the corners just didn't play well this game. MVS had that curl route, his only catch of the game. Staley was asking for a push-off, but again, you're not really going to get that, especially against the Chiefs. And I think when you go in those man situations, Mahomes has shown that he's going to beat you with his legs, not only this year, but just in the past. So I don't know. I probably would have tried to dial it up a little bit. Like, I know blitzing Mahomes is not the smartest idea, but this pass rush, like for the most part, had not been doing a very good job. And when the pass rush wasn't getting there, like, it literally wasn't getting there. Like, he had tons of time to throw in the pocket. So I'm not like too disappointed with the game plan, because I think playing man in the long run is probably the right move against the Chiefs. But yeah, I think they just got beat by the better quarterback, and I think you just got to tip your cap to that, especially when he decides to scramble at the end.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, every time we do a Chargers Chiefs preview podcast, I like talk about QB spy against Patrick Mahomes. Like, yeah. it sort of is what it is at this point. And the Chargers did a pretty good job throughout the game, like doing that. And then, of course, like you said, gets a 6-yard run, then a 16-yard run. And that was basically all of his production in terms of rushing just on that final drive. Which, you know, I mean, 20 or so yards, like in the macro, isn't as bad. But if you allow Patrick Mahomes to pick up like two critical first downs, really on, you know, rushes, like that is just going to, you know, kind of be exhausting. It reminded me a lot of sort of the end of that Chargers Chiefs, like Mexico City game from a couple years ago. I think Mahomes had like 60 yards in that game, just running on the ground. And yeah, it just felt like the Chargers could have done better. And, you know, maybe you get beat in coverage, maybe you get beat by MBS or something, but it just felt like overall, I still want Mahomes to beat me with his arm more so than I want him to beat me with his legs. But, you know, Mahomes took advantage of what he was seeing with the Chargers defense, and he saw a bunch of tired guys that were just exhausted from what they were doing all game. And he was like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to take off.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Optimus Ryan kind of brings up a good point in the chat. Like Staley, when it gets to third and long, it's just like Staley starts going into this super conservative zone defense. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, when you're in third and long, you're not supposed to play man. You're not supposed to play cover one like the Chiefs do. Like, you're supposed to play zone. You're supposed to have a 7-on-4, 7-on-5, a 2-on-1 in the pass game. Remember, Staley's philosophy on defense is 1-on-1s in the run game and 2-on-1s in the pass game, right? You're supposed to have two guys bracketing every receiver. And yet the Chargers get into these third and long situations. And it's like, even if it's a 2-on-1, they still give up these completions for a long game, right? And it's just like, I'd have to go back and watch the all 22 to like really see the communication issues. I just think they're getting beat by these simple dig routes, deep in routes. And again, I that's probably a player issue that they're just not communicating well. But we're kind of seeing that same thing in Green Bay this year where the secondary isn't communicating well. So, yeah, maybe the system is too complex. Like, maybe it's just too complex for this Chargers defense to comprehend. Like, that's really the only explanation I can have, because this is a pretty talented secondary. And the fact that they can't get a stop on 3rd and 17, regardless if the pass rush isn't getting home, I think is a concern, given all that they've invested into the secondary.
Yeah, and I think the pass rush not being as good as it is, we've talked about it all show. Like, that is part of why, you know, I guess playing conservative coverage on 3rd and 17, like, you know, does sort of get the Chargers exposed, because they don't like have anyone who's getting home to Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Right? So that I think is part of the issue. And then, you know, just like, you know, but you could also flip that on the other side and be like, all right, well, you could go all out blitz, or like you could go cover zero and like here comes Derwin like charging into the, you know, line of scrimmage. But like, you know, the Chargers did that against the 49ers, and like, you know, that basically was the end of the game when Jimmy G, you know, rubbed that ball to Brandon Ayuk, I think, and that was sort of game over at that point, right? So yeah, you could sort of play both sides on that, I guess, in terms of whether they should have been more aggressive blitzing. But like, you know, it also might not make sense to send like a cover zero blitz like on 3rd and 17, right? So ultimately, if the Chargers got the requisite pass rush that they needed, then, you know, you don't necessarily need to do that stuff on 3rd and 17, which I think, yeah. Anything else you want to bring up from the game specifically before we get to like questions and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hate to talk about it, but I mean, I feel like at some point we do need to talk about Justin Herbert. And just like, I don't know what goes, like, what, why is the universe like for, like, how is he throwing these interceptions on the fourth, like in the last drive of the fourth quarter? Like, I've been putting it off for like weeks now, but like at this point, like, I mean, even I have to say something, like, how is he throwing these interceptions? Like, I know he technically led a game leading drive. It wasn't game winning. It was a game leading drive. That should have been the game winning drive if his defense got a stop. But like, this is the second week in a row, it's just like an interception, and it's just fueling the takes, it's fueling the haters, right? And it's just like, I understand why he decided to push the ball downfield. Like, throwing an incompletion there probably was gonna result in the Chargers losing again. But I mean, him throwing it another fourth quarter interception to kind of seal the game is, you know, I feel like we should talk about it a little bit, even if I don't think that that shouldn't take away from anything he did for, you know, before that interception.
No, I mean, I think it's worth talking about. it's the first Justin Herbert throw where I'm like, oh, we're back in Phillip Rivers times.
With the
2 minute drives. No, it definitely was a bad interception to end the game. Sort of expect more from Herbert in those scenarios. But it just has felt like a little bit that the processing has, not that so much the processing has been off, but like the release point, throw point have still kind of been a little bit weird, like since that injury, right? Even last night, we still are having like batted balls down at the line of scrimmage. That's still been an issue. I think there were a couple last night, and Tirico and Collinsworth even pointed it out. So like at that point, you know, it just felt like he hasn't been able to kind of get what he wants on his throws sometimes. But then that's also confusing because, you know, he just throws like, you know, one of the best throws of his career to Keenan Allen on the drive prior where the Chargers, you know, take the 27-23 lead. So, yeah, I don't know. Definitely was not the best game from Justin Herbert. But, you know, those late turnovers are certainly going to, you know, fuel the narrative and whatever happens on Emmanuel Acho's Twitter. But aside from that, it just felt like overall a really good Herbert game. Probably, like you said, his best game this season that just kind of gets sullied by like that late game interception.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we're about 40 minutes in. I don't know if people want to, we can have a little bit of a therapy session here now if we want to. People want to shoot questions into the chat. So start shooting in your questions and we will get them as they come. Probably have about 10 or 15 minutes more here. So get your questions in now and we can talk about them. Send in super chats if you'd like to as well. And that will guarantee that we get to your question. Wanted to see if there was just any stuff that people were bringing up specifically. I don't know if people brought up any questions earlier. All right, I guess it's time to talk about it since Tyler sort of talked about it on Twitter with Brandon Staley's job status. Do you think Sean Payton is worth the draft picks to be coach?
I mean, like, I don't really feel like that comfortable talking about the Staley, like Sean Payton. So, like, I just like don't know what the discussion is. Like, I mean, in-season firing is just, I mean, the return on investment is not really that big. I think at this point, you just, you know, let Staley finish out this year and reevaluate from there. I think that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I don't know if they'll go after Sean Payton or something like that, but I mean, that's a discussion we can get to kind of when we get there. And I don't think there's any chance that Staley's fired in-season, relatively speaking. I actually don't know how good of a game or bad of a game Filer had last night. Do you have any numbers on that?
Yeah, so he did allow, I believe.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, he allowed 5 pressures, 1 sack, 20.2 pass blocking grade, which I think is wholly justified, and then a putrid 46.3 run blocking grade. So he just got absolutely annihilated. Not annihilated, that's over exaggerating, but he didn't have a good game. And especially on that final drive, Chris Jones ate him alive twice. Like, it wasn't even the first and 10 sneak or QB draw that he beat Filer. Herbert had to scramble to his left because Chris Jones beat Filer like almost immediately. So I know Steven was kind of talking about how Filer was kind of on this upward trajectory, but then he plays Chris Jones and everything comes crashing down. So it's just pretty unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like the Chargers, well, you know, when they double teamed Chris Jones like all the time, you know, earlier in the game, it felt like they had success. But then, you know, I mean, anytime he was kind of just one-on-one with Filer in particular, it just felt like an issue. On the roster next year, I feel like we've talked about this a couple times, but his contract is, you know, basically it was a 3-year deal. It's a 2-year deal. So considering his level of performance this year, I think the Chargers probably just free up the cap space, similar to what they might do with Michael Davis. But yeah, I do sort of think Filer's most likely not on the roster next year.
Yeah.
Let's get to some of these other questions. We sort of talked about stunts and creating pressure. This comes from Brandon Arias. How much is Bosa coming back going to make an impact once he comes back? And are we going to see the same Bosa or a different one, I guess, at this point?
I mean, we're not going to see the same Bosa. Groin injuries are incredibly tricky. And I mean, it seemed like he had a pretty severe one. So he's going to come back pretty, you're not 100%. I think in terms of his impact, though, I mean, Khalil Mack is going to see less double teams, and he's like, teams might actually run the ball towards Khalil Mack because Joey Bosa is one of the better run defenders in the NFL. And that's just been the problem with the Chargers defense. Like, they just run away from Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack lined up over Andrew Wiley, and they just run at Chris Rump for Kyle Van Noy on the left side of the ball, on the left side of the offense, right? So I think, you know, he'll definitely add some juice to a pretty dormant pass rush. And hopefully get more of a rotation in there. And I mean, I'd be happy to not see Derek Tuska like actually be getting significant snaps in like key moments. So I think having Bosa back would definitely help.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to get any like peak Joey Bosa performances, but just having his presence like on the field, I think would just make such a big difference as opposed to Kyle Van Noy, which I mean has been. You know, he has one of his better pass rush games last night, but still just during the run game, like it's so evident, you know, what teams are seeing when Joey Bosa isn't there. And I think that was, you know, really evident last night. This comes from Nick Semerikoff. Do we need to draft a tight end next year? I guess this is an interesting question because obviously the Chargers did not have Gerald Everett last night, still working to come back from a groin injury. They don't have Donald Parham either, who's on short-term IR. And that kind of opened the spotlight for Trey McKitty and Stone Smart. Stone Smart getting his first NFL catch last night, and Trey McKitty, you know, sort of just being Trey McKitty last night. Do you think there is a need to draft a tight end with, I guess, Everett heading into the last year of his deal and the status of Parham kind of up in the air at this point?
Yeah, I think you should be looking to draft a tight end like Trey McKitty. I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole to say he might be one of the worst tight ends in the NFL right now. I know PFF has him last, and that's what was shown on the Sunday night football graphic. I don't know what he does well. I don't think he does anything well. He's really bad as a run blocker. He is probably the reason the Chargers didn't score a touchdown at the end of the half on that pitch play. I didn't like the pitch play, the play call at all. But the fact that he literally blocked Filer from pulling outside the tackle is just like, what are you doing? Like, what, like, I don't know if he didn't understand the play call or like that was the design play, but he's been at the forefront of some killer mistakes. And I don't think you can kind of justify even like keeping him on the roster. So I definitely think they need to draft a tight end. I wouldn't spend a day one or day two pick on it, but look to bring in some competition because, I mean, Trey McKitty has literally done nothing for the Chargers this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been rough to watch just because you're sort of just waiting for him to turn the corner, and there's no corner being turned, certainly not as a pass catcher and even less so, I think, as a blocker. It's just been a problem all year, and it makes you miss Gerald Everett a lot, and maybe if they have Gerald Everett last night, that's kind of one of those inflection points that I think could have won them the game. But just having a complete, you know, zero, I guess, as your starting tight end, like it just made the game so much harder against the Chiefs, especially maybe when you're going against an offense that has Travis Kelce on the other side and you're trying to kind of match firepower for firepower. I guess this is just a general question that we were going to get, but this comes from Peel. Will the Chargers make the playoffs in your opinion? What is sort of the magic number they need to get to, I guess, in terms of wins here?
Well, they have to get to at least 10 wins. Like, they're not winning it. They're not making it with 9. Vegas right now has the Chargers with a 55% to miss the playoffs. So basically 45% chance to make the playoffs, which, I mean, it's complicated. They give it a 50% chance for the Chargers to make the playoffs, a 55% chance for the Chargers to miss the playoffs. I know the percentages don't add up to 100%, but like they're playing like both sides of the better or the gambler. So it's basically a coin flip at this point. And it comes down to two things: how healthy are the Chargers going to get going into the final stretch, which they've already lost Mike Williams. They already lost Nasir Adderley. It seems like it's going the opposite way based on that alone. But, and also, how much is Justin Herbert going to carry this team? Like, I thought he did a tremendous job yesterday, but he's going to need to play like yesterday, like for every single game. And they have some big games. Like the Titans and Dolphins one, they're not going to be favored in those games. Like the Dolphins are going to be favored against the Chargers. The Titans are going to be favored against the Chargers. And I think the Chargers should be favored in every other matchup, if I'm not mistaken, but they're going to have to win every game they're favored in, and they're going to have to probably snatch one of those games where they're underdogs in. If they mess up any game they're favored in, I think you can just kiss the playoffs out the window, because it is a coin flip right now, and other teams will take advantage of the fact that the Chargers are going to miss.
Yeah, me and Steven both said last night, just looking at the next four games here, you have Cardinals, Raiders, Dolphins, and Titans. I think they probably need to go 3-1 in that stretch, and that means I think going 2-0 against the Cardinals and Raiders, which in theory shouldn't be too difficult. You know, winning one of those Titans or Dolphins games, I think, is going to be really difficult considering how both of those teams are playing right now. We just saw how the Chargers got absolutely ran on by Isaiah Pacheco. I fear Derrick Henry with my life in that game, because that's just a really terrible matchup. And then after that, it is the Colts, Rams, and then Broncos to finish out the year, I believe. So, like, I think then you can probably go, like, 2-1 in those games. But really, we're at the point where the Chargers can afford two more losses, right? Like, if you go 10-7 and you finish the season 5-2, then you're probably in the playoffs. If not, you know, I don't think 9-8, much like last year, gets you into the playoffs. And I think the Chargers have some help, because right now, obviously, the Jets, for example, have a quarterback problem. You know, you sort of see, you know, even the Patriots aren't really settled at quarterback right now. So, you know, not like the end of the world right now, in terms of the Chargers and their playoff seedings. But the Bengals are going to get Jamar Chase back. They have a playoff seed right now. So they need help, right, to get into the playoffs. And so that probably relies on the Jets, Bengals. Jets and Bengals have pretty tough schedules. But, you know, Chargers have to win the games that they are supposed to as well. And the Chargers are going to be playing against two, probably the top, you know, four or five AFC contenders, and the Dolphins and Titans coming up. So I think the numbers that they have to go 10-7, and anything less than that, they're not in.
Yeah. And look, I am not looking forward to that Titans game at all. Like that could literally go so bad for the Chargers if they don't want to tackle and they're just not in the mood. And Derrick Henry could legitimately go for like 200. Like I wouldn't feel like I feel confident saying that.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I remember just like the last couple weeks of last season when like people would check out like the playoff picture when the Chargers were in it, and when the Chargers like weren't in it by the end of the year. But like there were a couple weeks where it's like, do we really want to make the playoffs if our wild card game, you know, is in Tennessee? And it's like, here comes Derrick Henry. Like, I don't know. That was just a really tough situation. And obviously Derrick Henry is healthy this year as opposed to what he was at the end of last year. So that is not going to be a fun game. And I think you probably just have to hope that like Ryan Tannehill is really bad, or like, you know, Malik Willis has to come into the game at some point. Like, that is, is probably what you're hoping in terms of a Chargers win there. But if they can just run the ball with Derrick Henry, much like the Chiefs did with Isaiah Pacheco last night, I think that the Chargers are just kind of screwed in that case. And then I do not want to see the Dolphins game where they can't get pass rush pressure on Tua. And, oh, he's just throwing to Tyreek and Waddle. Like, that has, probably not as bad as the Derrick Henry game, but that is also a game that, if the Chargers don't play that properly, could kind of get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, that two-game stretch could literally, like, make the Chargers' defense look like complete trash. And, it could be really, really ugly if they don't take it serious.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is kind of more daily job talk, but does he keep his job if we don't make the playoffs? I think you're just starting to see, in general, sort of what I was talking about earlier in the year. I did not think Staley was safe if they didn't make the playoffs this year. I know at points that's kind of gone back and forth with what Steven and Tyler have thought. Won't say he's out if they miss the playoffs this year, because the Chargers could just go, hey, we had a lot of injuries and that's the reason. But I don't think he keeps his job if they miss the playoffs this year, especially with some of the high profile people that have been rumored that potentially want that job.
Yeah.
All right. Probably one or two more minutes worth of question. This comes from Ben. Hope Tyler's okay. Pass some love to him for us, fellas. So Tyler will be fine. He'll be back on Wednesday. I think we're all just kind of hurting right now. I guess we can end on a positive note. This comes from Merritt Boydston. What are the team's biggest needs heading into 2023? So not trying to get too much into draft talk or anything like that by this point, because the Chargers still have the playoffs, here, but just evaluating their weaknesses through these first 10 games. What are their first, what are probably the three biggest positional needs that they need going into next year?
I think I would start with, this one's tough. I think I would start with, with edge. I there's just no juice if one of them goes down, and I don't think it hurts to have any more depth at pass rusher. I would go corner then, because you're probably cutting Davis. Callahan's on a 1-year deal, and then JC's coming back from patella tendon, which is the most gruesome injury in all of sports. So you need some guys there. I know people are going to say receiver, but they're going to have all three guys on contracts next year. So you're not taking the fourth receiver in round one or two or something, even if you need speed all that much. Tight end. I think tight end's big. You need to get a game changing tight end or just some depth to keep Trey McKitty off the field.
Yeah, I think tight end is probably a big one, or something that's vaulting up the list that I did not think would be such a big need, prior to the season. I think if you're talking about, an edge three, we sort of thought Kyle Van Noy coming into the season would be able to hold down that unit, but he hasn't been, able to, obviously you're not going to provide the same juice that Joey Bosa brings on a week in, week out basis, but just has not been good enough or consistent enough from the pass rush standpoint, from a run game standpoint, where defenses or offenses just know they can run at him. They just need more there. So that probably is a draft problem if you want to draft one in the first three rounds or something like that, as opposed to kind of waiting for day three with a Chris Rumpf type pick. I think that could be it. And then quarterback, I think Staley, even this offseason, loaded up on cornerback and went and got Bryce Callahan and got JC Jackson, right? I think that's another position that they have to go with in the offseason. Some people are pointing out linebacker. Depending on what they want to do with Kenneth Murray and his fifth year option, which will come up at some point. That's going to be a big position too. But all right, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Arjun, any final thoughts as now we try to turn the page on this game and head into Cardinals week?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just stay strong. Do not fall into Tuanon or Boronon. You know, we will stay strong in these times. And like all things, you know, the good quarterbacks will prevail, and the bad ones, or they're not bad, but the ones who aren't as good will eventually, you know, get shown the light. So I still fully believe in Herbert, and I still think there's a slightly more than a coin flip chance for the Chargers to make the playoffs. But again, they do need to make some changes, and I'm hoping we see a change in mentality going forward.
Yeah, hoping for a change in mentality going forward. And, you know, we'll be live on Wednesday to talk about Chargers Cardinals in the biggest coaching matchup of the season in Cliff Kingsbury versus current Brandon Staley. So I'm sure that'll go well. Yeah, we are going to try to stay out of doomer territory. Justin Herbert is our quarterback. Don't fall into the Tuanon, you know, propaganda. But yeah, overall, not a great game for the Chargers, but have some chances to bounce back here with the Cardinals, and then Josh McDaniels Raiders the next week. So not all optimism is dead. So I'll see you guys next time.